to welcome each one of you to the regular meeting of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, Lahontan Region. My name is Kimberly Cox from Hellendale, and I am acting as the board chair today. For our current board chair, Dr. Amy Horn from Truckee will be absent today. She will be joining us tomorrow. So I beg your indulgences if I have any missteps, but Patty's promised to keep me on track here. I want to thank the members of the public for coming to our meeting. We do a better job when you participate in the issues that come before us. At this time, I would like to introduce the other members of the regional board. Over here to my right, we have Don Jardine from Markleyville, and Peter Humphrey from Bishop. And to my left, we have Eric Sandell from Truckee. And absent for this meeting is Keith Dias from Rosamond. The executive officer is Patty Kumyunjin. Ms. Kumyunjin, would you please introduce yourself?
I would be thrilled to. Let me also just point out our guest from the state board, E.D. Adama, our state board member, who's from Sacramento to participate with us. In the audience, I have Lori Kemper, our assistant executive officer, Doug Smith, one of our division managers, Mike Plazek from Victoria, our division manager, and our newest division manager, Scott Ferguson. Also in the audience, we have Alan Miller with us, Bud Amorfini, Sue Genera in the back. I don't know if Eric Taxers has come in yet. To my left, Amber Wick, who is helping Sue from the meeting, and Kim Niemeyer, also our regional counsel.
Thank you, Ms. Kumyunjin. The regional board will be considering many items during this meeting. Although we must use our time wisely, we encourage your input on any item so that our decision will be based on all available information. If you wish to speak on any agenda item, please fill out an orange card indicating which item you wish to address and how many minutes you need. I believe they're in the back on the table. Although we do not administer an oath in most proceedings before this board, we expect all statements made before this board to be truthful with no attempt to mislead by false statements, deceptive presentation, or failure to include essential information. We also ask that you obey our ground rules, which are very simple. Treat everyone with respect. This includes the board members, board staff, and anyone who testifies as your fellow citizens. This means no personal attacks, no violent, contemptuous, or disruptive behavior. In the interest of everyone's time, please communicate your ideas clearly and effectively. So that we can develop an accurate administrative record, we ask that you speak only after you are recognized. At that time, please come up to the lectern and speak on the agenda item. If you do not follow these rules or become repetitious, you may be asked to sit down. Any person aggrieved by an action or inaction of the regional board, included but not limited to the issuance, modification, or rejection of waste discharge requirements, administrative civil liability, or a cease and desist order, may petition the State Water Resources Control Board to review the decision. The State Board must receive the petition within 30 days of the regional board's meeting at which the action was taken. Board staff will provide you with copies of the regulations about filing petitions if you request them. They are also available on the State Water Resources Control Board website. And just as a note to everyone here today, tomorrow's, in case you leave early, tomorrow's meeting will convene at the South Lake Tahoe Community College at 8:30, so we don't want you showing up here when everyone else is over there. Next, we have a public forum, and we'd like to invite our special guests from the State Board up to share any thoughts or report with us. Ms. DiGiomo?
No mic, I'm used to a mic. So thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I need to start off with an apology because It's been a while since I've attended one of your meetings. It's been a very busy year. When I say year, I'm thinking of 2014. So now, of course, we're in 2015. But and I thought I'd get my chance to meet with you all because it looks like we're probably in for another dry year, and that is what's been, you know, the reason why, you know, for my absence. It's been just a whirlwind dealing with the drought. But out of, you know, these challenges really do come opportunities. And so I think it's fair to say that 2014, for those of us who work on water issues, is probably one of the biggest years that we've seen on policy changes and also the bond. So some good things came of, you know, our adversity over in 2014. So what I'd like to do is just quickly go through the big items that we dealt with in 2014 and talk about what it's going to look like for the board in this coming year. So first of all, in January of last year, the administration, as you all know, rolled out the California Water Action Plan, you know, the 10-point plan, really asking us to look at water in a new way instead of being in silos with, you know, whether it's water quality or water supply or what have you, that we look at our system in a much more integrated fashion and look at a full suite, you know, a portfolio approach, and really focusing much more on integrated, you know, local and regional self-sufficiency with integrated regional water management planning, which crosses over, you know, water supply, water quality, the issues that you all are working on, trying to look at some of our problems and turning them into solutions. So, you know, capturing stormwater and putting it to beneficial use, cleaning up wastewater and turning it into, you know, recycled water that can be put to beneficial use. And so that plan, you know, the timing was right because not too long after that plan came out, you know, the year didn't start off so bad at the end of 2013, but as you know, the precipitation just stopped, which is kind of what we're seeing, you know, as a repeat for this year as well. And that helped to spur a lot of the discussions on groundwater that people had been concerned about over really, you know, decades. And a lot of folks for a long time would say, you know, you just don't want to touch, the state doesn't want to touch groundwater because, you know, we just wouldn't be able to get agreement. And there were many attempts in the state legislature over a period of years. But the stars aligned, you know, between the dry conditions and then some changes that we saw, you know, the Association of California Water Agencies coming out with its report, the California Water Foundation coming out with its report, and then we had a concept paper and a series of workshops that we did along with the governor's office and some of the other agencies, and we saw the common themes. First of all, the groundwater needs to be sustainably managed, and that even though there are many areas where the localities are doing a very good job, I had an interesting discussion with Ms. Cox on the way over about what they're doing, you know, in the Mojave area. But unfortunately, there are many areas in California that just are not sustainably managing, or, you know, that's a very loose term, you know, managing at all groundwater basins. And so that was a common theme. Number one, we need to have sustainable groundwater management. Number two, the management is best done at the local level. They have the tools, they have the know-how, they have the relationships, and where possible, they have the leadership. But oftentimes that leadership needs to be spurred perhaps by a state role. And so that's component number three, and that is that there should be a limited state role for intervention where the locals are, either they choose not to act or they are not able to act. And then the fourth thing is that the locals need more tools in the toolbox. And so the Groundwater Sustainability Act does just that. So I don't want to get into the details. If you're interested, I go on road shows all the time and doing presentations on this. So if you're interested in a full-blown presentation, I or somebody else would be happy to do that for you. But so anyway, those programs are you know, up and running, and now it's time to give the local communities an opportunity, and there's a series of deadlines in the bill, and the state wouldn't be stepping in until those deadlines get missed. Of course, the third component is the bond from November, and lots of exciting opportunities for some of the great projects that you all are working on. And you probably already know this, but a quick rundown: $100 million in conservation, $725 in water recycling that also includes desal, $200 million in stormwater capture and reuse, for those good LID programs that you're working on, $900 million for groundwater management, so $100 for groundwater management and $800 for on-the-ground programs for prevention and cleanup, the $2.7 billion in storage, and that's big projects, little projects. Little projects gets back to the point of integrated regional management, so above ground and groundwater storage. $520 million for safe drinking water, with a focus on getting water to disadvantaged communities. And then $1.5 billion for watershed restoration. So, with the announcement of the budget, the first round of these funds are already starting, will be distributed in this budget year. I wanted to also go over a little bit about what we did on drought, what we did as a state board and part of the governor's drought action team, because, it looks like we'll be doing this all over again this year. So the state board was involved in four key areas. First of all, to expedite water transfers. There wasn't a lot of water that got transferred because there wasn't a lot of extra water that folks were interested in letting go of. But where we got those requests, we were able to work with DWR to expedite those transfers. Secondly, in the governor's executive order, we have the authority through the emergency process to adopt these temporary urgency change petitions on water rights. So the main ones that we worked on throughout the year were related to the projects. So the state and federal projects, of course, have water quality standards that need to be met, and in an effort to conserve that precious water in storage for cold water storage, for fisheries, for health and safety needs, and also to be able to use it throughout the year so that the Delta does not risk getting, too salty. So the idea was to relax, to provide for a relaxation of those standards so that the water could be used more wisely. And so we do expect that we will see a request for those, petitions probably coming up by the end of the month. And then the curtailment process through each watershed. Our water rights division worked very closely with the water users throughout the watersheds to try to make sure we had all the information that we needed to compare, supply and demand. And where the supply wasn't sufficient in order to meet the water rights demands, we had to issue curtailment notices. And so the process was a little rough going in the beginning, but I think at this point we're going through some lessons learned about how we can expedite that process and also provide real-time information online. And initially, we actually mailed out the notices. This year, we expect that it will be electronically. And then the water conservation regulation, the urban conservation piece, focusing on outdoor irrigation. We adopted a series of actions that are prohibited: watering your sidewalk, washing your car without a nozzle that has a shutoff valve, so real low-hanging fruit, basic stuff. And then communities were asked to implement their urban conservation measures, and for the most part that meant limitation on outdoor irrigation to no more than 2 days per week. We were hoping to target a 20% reduction. We learned a lot in the process. So for some communities, they said, well, that's going to be hard for us because we've already been conserving so much over the last decade. And so for us to be expected to do 20% more on top of that is probably a too tall of an order. And then other communities, were saying, well, what if we have, these heat spells? So maybe we can do 20% during certain times of year. So we're really struggling with how best to collect that information and tell the story. Right now, if we look at just a pure percentage, we're at around 10% conservation, which is, you know, a good down payment, but not enough. So looking definitely for suggestions on from you all and others as to what should be the next step if we have to, you know, tighten things up a little bit more. Then, of course, we will this year move forward with a number of actions through our, mainly through our water quality division. And so what I'd like to do now is just quickly name off a few areas and give you a sense for timing as to when actions will be taken. So our trash amendments, a statewide water quality water quality control plans that are being amended to address trash and waterway. We have two tracks, either requiring full capture or an alternate track where institutional measures, education, and that sort of thing, more trash pickup could occur as long as the same performance standard is met as though you were in track one. We expect that we will be considering this for adoption in mid-March. Toxicity, there are draft toxicity amendments. We have a revised staff report, and we are expecting that another document will be released by staff sometime also in March. Staff tells us that they expect to bring this to us in May, but I know oftentimes the schedule slips because we really do have a lot on our plate here. For those that are following LAMS4, stormwater in terms of, you know, a creative approach on low-impact development projects and an alternative compliance path. We had a workshop in December in Los Angeles, and staff is now going through all of the public comments, written and oral, from the workshop, and probably will receive something, I'd say, by midsummer for LAMS4. Compost, we're working on a statewide compost general order, and staff just released draft EIR and proposed general order last week, and there will be a public workshop coming up in February. Let's see here. DSAL amendments are expected to come before the board in April. Stormwater strategic plan. The idea here is that we've had a collaborative stakeholder process to produce a plan that looks at more effective ways, kind of this integrative approach on low-impact development, multiple benefit solutions. And that stakeholder process took place last year between June and October, and a draft release is expected to come out in March. And there will be another workshop after that draft release comes out. Recycled water, a lot going on with recycled water, not just for funding with monies in the bond, but also we adopted a low-interest loan rate, I think 1%, for recycled water projects that were already in the queue, looking to expedite things as quickly as possible. And that was $800 million funding through the SRF program. And in the meantime, the scientific review panel is looking at the issues and feasibility to provide a report to us on the feasibility of indirect potable for surface augmentation and also for direct potable. And we expect that we will receive that report on time for us to be able to provide a report to the legislature, which we are required to by statute at the end of 2016. Okay, let's see here. And then GRAP, the Statewide Grazing Regulatory Action Project, and I know that this is being generated out of this region, and I was at a couple of stakeholder meetings with Board Member Pumphrey and with Patty, And I just want to compliment your whole team for the good work that they're doing on this project. I know there's a lot of angst out there in the regulatory in the regulated community, and so I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you on that, since I'm the ag member on the board, and a lot of the regulated community comes to me when they have concerns. You know, these are ag folks that I'm used to working with, you know, from long-standing relationships. So I will just say that as long as you continue to, and I know I've had a lot of discussions with Patty on this, continue to say that you're open to a number of different approaches, including, you know, perhaps even ongoing regional approaches, not necessarily having, it's nothing set in stone yet, and that you'll spend some time looking at the scientific issues and the need. I am doing what I can to try and encourage them to be open to some change in the way of doing business as well. So they very much like a voluntary approach. And so I know that there's a voluntary program that a lot of them seem to think, you know, works quite well. I've suggested that they go back, take a look. It's been a while since it's been updated. Take a look at, you know, what improvements they would be willing to consider, and, you know, have be part of this collaborative process. So I'll be continuing to work with you on this. This is a priority for me. And again, thank you for your work on this. I know it's going to be very staff intensive. So that's it on the update. We've got a lot going on this year, and I hope it won't be so long between visits. And if you want any more information on any of these items, I'm happy to get it to you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. And Amber, do you have any speakers cards? Anyone wishing to speak in public forum? I don't see any. As we move into our agenda, I want to let the audience know that item 8 has been pulled. So if you're here with interest or comments on item 8, the discharger is in compliance, so we have no need to proceed with that item. So with that, we will move on to item number 2 on the agenda, the minutes.
I'd like to move the acceptance of the minutes.
Second.
Motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Item 3, reports by